Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion, John Chong, and you are listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, connecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Aloha, everybody, and much mahalo. My name is Professor Gary Lee, and I want to say thank you to allowing us to be in your home on a cruising night. You know, we've got an incredible idea that we created 9 years ago. Actually, it wasn't my idea. It was a man that I'm going to introduce now. He is a visionary. He has done an amazing thing in the past 3 years for our community. And I'm talking about Auntie Jesse Bowen. He is my producer, and he's the one that actually has put me on the air for 9 years and put us around the world and from East Coast to West Coast. And at this moment, I would like to introduce him. Auntie Jesse, are you there, sir?
Hey, sir. How are you doing?
Mr. Bowen, this is Wolverine. Hey, Professor, this is Wolverine. Yes, before Mr. Bowen goes on, I just want to remind everybody this is live radio, and if everyone could just mute their phone while other people are speaking, that way everybody can hear clear in the background. Thank you.
Thank you. That means a lot. Now, Auntie Bowen, as I was saying, you've done an amazing job these past 3 years introducing the Who's Who book, and now with Elite Publications and having people write books about their memories and their stories, I'm just excited that you've been my producer for these many years. But before we go on, I want people to know what you do. And you got a podcast. You've got a big Bill Wallace event coming up in July. Go ahead, Auntie Bowen. Tell us what's going on with Jesse Bowen.
Well, sir. Well, thank you, sir. And again, we're really grateful for the opportunity to even support the museum because I truly believe in it and what you're doing and keeping that history alive, keeping our memories, you know, of who we used to be and who's really who today. And that's what we've been really trying to do. Our purpose has only been that, and we've accomplished a lot. We've done a lot and really been blessed. And so, yes, we have Grandmaster Wallace coming up in July in Las Vegas. We're going to be celebrating. We're going to be doing a Chinese event in Washington, D.C. with Grandmaster Dennis Brown. That's going to be announced in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a biography book just for Chinese martial artists. So we're really excited about it. You know, the magazine is out, the Martial Arts Extraordinaire. And this month, you know, we're going to be reaching out to Don and his guys because we're looking for couples that's actually involved in the martial arts. So we're going to do a whole magazine, and Micah Jai White and his wife are going to be on the cover, and we're going to be talking about couples and, you know, how do they make it in martial arts? You know, how do they, you know, run a school together? This is black belts, you know, that are married and that are running schools together. And so it's going to be really, really something really different. But, yes, sir, we have a whole lot of stuff that's going on. Not only are we publishing for our book and for other organizations, but we're publishing for individuals. And our new podcast with Karen Herden and myself, and it's called Become an Author. So we are, you know, teaching people and helping them to be able to not just write their books, but help them be able to market their books and get their books, you know, online, over 40,000 websites, you know, worldwide. So those are just some of the things that we've been, you know, that we've been doing. Every week we're just trying to make the world a better place.
Well, we're very excited to support you and Elite Publications and, of course, the AMAA Network, which we've been on the air now for, like I said, 7 years. But I got to mention a couple things. First of all, you mentioned Karen Eden Herden. We're going to be honoring her next year. So that's going to be exciting. And you know what's really exciting is the fact that we're actually involved with not just from the East Coast to the West Coast, you know, all across America. You have put this radio show across the world. I mean, I've got people coming from Switzerland, Finland, I mean, England, Saudi Arabia in October, and it's all because of what you've done with the radio show, Jesse Bowen, to put us across the world. And we want to say thank you so much that we've introduced sport karate, and I'm very proud to say this, to the world. So with that said, you have a great evening, Hockey Bowen, please.
I will, sir. Thank you. And everyone, be blessed.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was my producer, Jesse Bowen. But now I get to do something I really love to do. I get to introduce my special guest. But before I do, I have two people that have been putting up with me for, well, quite a long time. The first person is someone that I adopted from the great Joe Lewis. And he actually gave me permission to work with him and become his instructor. I'm talking about Mr. Dean Piles. Are you there, sir? Dean, quit knocking people out and get on the radio. He must be with somebody. Let me go to my second co-host. He's from Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio. He is a Ohio Sportsman Hall of Fame. He is a master, and you guys know I don't use that word a lot, but he is actually a master in Tang Soo Do, and I'm talking about Mr. A.J. Perry. Are you there, A.J.?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You need to go kick Dean in the head because I bet he's teaching or working out somebody.
I wasn't sure if I was back on because I got knocked off.
Yeah, I did too. That's why I wasn't here, Professor.
Oh, okay. I forgive you, Dean. Ladies and gentlemen,
thanks for the nice introduction.
A.J. Perry on the line, and these guys are my co-hosts. And they get to interrupt me throughout the interview or whenever we're talking.
Oh, you know, we love interrupting you too, Gary.
I know. But guys, listen, don't go anywhere because I get to introduce two of the most prolific people that we have in the martial arts today. Now, they're responsible for having one of the longest running tournaments in America called the Ocean State Nationals, which is coming up here in April. And they are the coaches of the most prolific karate team that we have in America as we speak, the John Paul Mitchell National Karate Team. And I'm talking about the lovely people of Don Rodriguez and Christina Bannon Rodriguez. Hey, guys, you there?
Yes, we are.
Wow, this is exciting. Well, let me brag a little bit, okay? Now, I'm going to brag about Christina first because she's a lady. Okay, Don? Please forgive me.
You got it.
Now, Christina,
welcome to the show.
Is a WACO, WAKA world champion. But what I know of her, what I do know of her, she was an incredible kung fu stylist back in the day, and she would just dominate fighting. She would look like sometimes like a lawnmower on Rocket Duel going through the divisions. And now she coaches the John Paul Mitchell karate team with her incredible husband, who I'm going to brag about a little bit. His name is Mr. Don Rodriguez. Now, he's a Kempo stylist, and he goes back, you know, with a lot of people that used to teach Kempo on the eastern side of America. But, you know, they're just incredible people, and I'm so glad I get to interview them and talk to them tonight. Okay, is that good enough, guys?
Sounds good.
Well, okay. Well, listen, let's start with the tournament, the Ocean State Nationals. Don, tell me about a little bit what's going on and how long you've had the tournament exactly.
Well, this is our 40th anniversary. It was supposed to be our 40th anniversary back in 2020. However, because it was like 3 weeks before the event that we had to cancel because the pandemic hit at that point. And so we weren't able to do it in 2020. But it's 2022, and this is our 40th anniversary of this tournament. Started back in 1981. And it's grown so big and so many people that have come to the tournament over the years. The who's who's in the martial arts have been to this event. And I myself, and I know Christine, we're very proud of where the tournament has gone to and where it's actually at right now. For the first time since we've had this tournament in 40 years, this is the most money that we've been able to get to give to competitors. So we have a record of over $20,000 in prize money that we're going to be giving out. That's not trophies and awards and things like that. That's strictly prize money. We're giving out over $20,000. And I'm really proud of that because it's going back to the competitors. The competitors are finally going to get a chance to get rewarded for their efforts. And because of that, we've been getting a great response from the competitors. And I just think we're going to have a very, very good turnout and a very good, most importantly, the talent that's going to be coming in is going to be incredible. So I'm really, really looking forward to the event itself.
Now, where exactly, what city and state is it in?
It's in Warwick, Rhode Island.
Okay. And is there a major hotel, and is there a way for people to get in contact with you? I mean, can you give me some information on how they get in touch with you and exactly what hotel it'll be at?
Yeah, well, when you would be flying in, you would actually be, they say, flying into Providence, but you're actually flying into Warwick. The airport is approximately 5 minutes from the hotel, and the hotel itself is the Crowne Plaza Hotel in Warwick, and the entire weekend is going to be there on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All the events are going to be there Friday and Saturday, mostly black belts. On Sunday, there's all under belts, so it's going to be a terrific thing. You know, one of the good things about the tournament is that if you're flying in, there's a free shuttle from the airport to the hotel, so you don't have to pay for any taxis or anything like that. And if you do drive in and you're parking, there's no parking fees at the hotel. So we really make it a competitor-friendly tournament, you know.
Well, you got a dear friend of mine coming in, one of the most popular martial artists we've created out of America, and we're talking about the great Bill Superfoot Wallace. Now, you got incredible other people coming in, but Bill is someone very special. Is he going to be doing a seminar, or is he just going to be there?
Bill Superfoot Wallace, the legend, is going to be here shaking hands with everybody and taking pictures. That's what he's here. He is truly a legend, you know. We could have had him doing seminars, and we could have had him doing this, that, and the other, but you know what? That guy there is a true legend of our sport. And, you know, I've been friends with Bill for a long, long time, and I really don't believe he still doesn't get the recognition that he should get. You know what I mean? Myself personally, I wanted him to come to the tournament, and he said, "So what do you want me to do?" I said, "I just want you to be Bill Wallace. That's all I need you to be, you know." So look out, because he's going to be Bill Wallace, I can tell you that, you know.
Well, it's exciting.
Hey, and Professor, let me just say also, as a competitor and being someone that competed at their competition, the venue is great. It's a great venue. It's easy to get to. And like Mr. Rodriguez said, parking is free. There's places to go around there and eat. And that's besides, you know, Uncle Bill being there. Him being there, is, you know, that's just an added bonus. But the competition, the arena, all the area, the space they got, it's a very nice location. It's very, everything's easy and accessible. So it makes for a great, fun tournament for you know, people that are just getting their feet wet with tournaments or seasoned competitors.
That's a good plug. Now, something I've got in my notes, Don, a couple of months ago, we were talking because we spent a lot of time on the phone and sharing. You said something to me that really was very important. You said, "Gary, I could have honored this man at the battle at Long Beach or even at my event, but I want the Sport Karate Museum to honor Mr. John Paul Gennaro, the owner of the John Paul Mitchell team. So this year in October at Roy Kirvin's event, we're going to give him an honorary 10th degree black belt from all the history generals and the museum. And I want to say thank you for letting us be able to have that opportunity to do that. Now, tell me a little bit about the John Paul Mitchell team. How did it come about? How did you start it? And how long has it been around?
You know, it's great to be able to give this story out. When we first started off, we were sponsored by another team. It was called Spider Brand. And the guy, his name was Bernie Ringetti, great guy. He meant well, but he was making gear, not gear, but he was making like bags and banners and things like that. And so what he would do with a promoter, he would tell the promoter, listen, if you need stuff, I can get it to you. If you can give the team free entry fee. Well, sometimes he didn't get the stuff to them. And my guys couldn't get in to compete, you know. So
yes,
so I said, listen, they let them in anyways because of me. But I said, we need to go find another sponsor. Anybody know anybody that got a lot of money, you know? And that's when Steve Babcock said to me that I know this guy that has
Paul
Mitchell hair product.
Great fighter, Mr. Babcock.
You know? So, yeah, Steve Babcock, who was on the team. He was my heavyweight, and he said to me, Coach, I know, you know, John Paul DeJoria, who is, you know, the owner of Paul Mitchell, one of the owners of Paul Mitchell and hair products, and I didn't even know what Paul Mitchell hair products was at the time, you know. So he says, maybe if we give him a proposal, he'd do it. So I wrote up this proposal. We only had a 7-man team at the time. And we sent it out, and you know what? A couple of weeks go by, and we didn't hear anything. So finally, Steve gave John Paul a call, and he said, John Paul, did you ever get that proposal that we sent out? He goes, you know, I got it right in the desk here, Steve. Let me give you a call back in like 10 minutes. About 10 minutes later, he calls Steve up, and he said, hey, you know what? Sounds good. Let's do it, you know? And
that's
how
great.
It all started. You know, and the ironic part about this whole story was I didn't know much about the Paul Mitchell hair product at the time of the Paul Mitchell company. I'm watching CNN like about 3 weeks after we got the sponsorship, and CNN says, you know, Paul Mitchell from the Paul Mitchell hair products just passed away today. And I said, I can't believe my sponsor just died. You know what I mean? It was John Paul and Paul Mitchell had gone into partnership with one another. And
right.
I never got a chance to meet Paul Mitchell himself. My relationship has been strictly with John Paul DeJoria, you know? And
yeah,
but I got to tell you that we competed, and we sent him a video of our guys competing after the season was over. And when he saw the people, when he saw the competitors competing, got to remember now, we're talking about a very young Pedro Xavier at the time. You're talking about a very young Richard Brandon at the time. You know what I mean? You're talking about some people that were incredible competitors. And you know what? We ended up competing, and we started doing very – after he saw the video it's been ongoing since then. And you know what? I got to tell you this, Gary, and it's so important for everybody that's listening. It's not really that hard to go out and get a sponsor. It really isn't. What's hard is to keep a sponsor.
Yes.
And at the Ocean State, we'll mark our 35th year that we've got an our sponsorship. And nothing's changed. They've been so good to us, so great to us. I can't tell you that nobody could have a better sponsor than we have. John Paul in the company, Paul Mitchell, has been incredibly supportive of over the years. And when you think of the people that have been on this team, they really, really are the who's who in sport karate, you know, from
Don,
Christine.
I've got a big surprise for you. I've done something really cool. We're not only going to honor Mr. Genorio with the honorary 10th degree black belt. We're going to put him in that night. The president is going to put the president of the association. He's going to the United States Black Belt Hall of Fame. He's been inducted. And Mark Shuey, the cane master, is making him a personalized cane. And
Oh, wow.
So I wanted to ask you, Don, I wanted to ask you, and I'd like my listeners to listen to you, because first of all, I'm really overwhelmed. But when you called me and you said why you chose the Sport Club Museum to honor Mr. Genorio, will you please just share that, because it was so special what you said.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, I got to tell you that we could do it, like Gary said, we could do it in several different venues from all over the country. There's so many really good events out there that we could do it at and so forth. But, you know, the Martial Arts Museum is the best place for this to happen. Even though the Paul Mitchell team was technically born at the Ocean State.
Right.
You know what? John Paul lives in Texas, you know? And you know what? I got to tell you that, you know, he is truly an ambassador of the martial arts. I mean, he really loves his karate team. He really loves, you know, out of all of his billionaire friends that he has, the one thing that he has that no one else has is he has the best karate team in the whole world. And no one else does, you know. And I say that because there's just so many great teams out there right now, and they're really awesome, and they really are. But they got a little ways to go before they can be around as long as we have. You know what I mean? And
yep.
You know what? There's so many teams out there that are former team members of Paul Mitchell that they're coaching right now. You take Team Impact is being coached by, you know, Richard Plowden, and Mike Conroy is coaching a team, and, you know, Raymond Daniels has his own team, and it goes on and on, and, you know, I'm just so proud of all of these people, so proud of the team. I can't tell you that how excited I am to be involved for this long with this company. It's been amazing, truly amazing. It really has.
Well, we're very excited to be able to honor Mr. Genorio and honor you. And, you know, the little gifts, like the United States Hall of Fame, the cane, and, you know, the appreciation is not just to say thank you for putting together one of the greatest teams that America's ever seen, but to be able to put the attitude of what every John Paul Mitchell team member does. Because like I told you, I think it was the other day when we talked, you can expect anybody that has John Paul Mitchell on the back of their uniform, they're excellent. Now, I've got to pick on Christine a minute because I had some emails that came in that want me to ask her a direct question. Christina, are you there? It's not Christine, it's Christine, correct?
Yes.
Okay, Christine. Okay, one of the questions that was asked me from a lady out of Florida, she wanted me to ask you, was it different fighting people in Europe when you fought and won the WACO championship or America? Who were the hardest fighters, the Americans or the Europeans?
Well, that's a tough question. When we were over in Europe and doing the WACO World Championship, it was all by weight, you know, kilograms and stuff. And so I was only fighting my weight category. And there were some very tough fighters. You know, a lot of those countries, that's all they do. I mean, some of them don't even do katas and stuff. I mean, they just really concentrate on fighting. So they were definitely some of the best fighters I've fought over there. But then over here in the United States, you know, I'd win my division and then I'd have to fight a heavyweight champion like Linda Denley or Arlene Lemus. So, you know, that was much tougher because, you know, you were dealing with someone much taller or heavier. So they definitely hit a lot harder.
By the way, Arlene wanted me to ask if you were going to get to come with Don before we present the plot of Mr. Genorio. Arlene is going to be there in October, and she loves you and Linda because, you know, Arlene gave Linda a bad time, and as you gave a bad time to a lot of women. Now, the other question that was asked directly towards you, Christine, was the fact that Did you enjoy, okay, you've been sponsored by Macho, right? Macho equipment. Macho, is it Macho or Macho?
It was Macho. I was, yes.
Oh, so you're not sponsored by them anymore?
No, I don't work for the company anymore. I used to design some gear for them and everything. And I ran a team Macho with some competitors, and now I have a new team that's called Team CBR, and it is sponsored by Ocean State Collision Center. So I have my own team and under my own heading. But what was the question?
Well, I've got a bunch of questions here from these girls that emailed me. One was, did you make Baba under meet your husband, or did you make Baba under someone else?
No, I earned my black belt under my husband, and it was also Professor Nick Serio, that tested me as well. And then I tested under Grandmaster Ed Parker along with my husband, and then Grandmaster George Bizzari. So it's always been, from day one, I was training under my husband, but almost every test, I tested under one of the other grandmasters as well.
From Susan in Utah, she wanted me to ask you, what was your favorite technique, Christine?
Favorite technique? Fighting, I would probably say the sidekick. I think it's the most effective technique out there. Can really keep your opponent away, and especially when you're fighting bigger opponents. Very, very effective. And in forms, I would probably say like a tornado kick or, 360 or 540 jump kick.
Can I interject there just a little bit? As her instructor, she enjoyed axe kicking somebody in the face more than anything, okay?
Oh, of course.
Okay? So let's just get that in there. Her signature kick was the axe kick, and when she kicked somebody in the face, that was her thing, But I just had to add that in there.
Well, of course. Now, from Janet LaFour from Antigo, Wisconsin, she wanted me to ask, what's it like training and being coached by your husband all these years? Because how long have you guys been together?
31 years.
good question.
We've been married for 31 years. It took us 7 years to get married because of the fact that we couldn't find a tournament date. That wasn't on a date that we wanted, if you know what I mean, So yeah. We finally got married back in 1990, actually. And, it's been 31 years that we've been married, but we've been together about 38 years.
Yeah. Wow. I was training with him over 42 years. And, being coached by your husband, it's, I don't know what to say. No, it's great to be coached by him.
He never complains about dinner.
It's great to be coached by your husband and everything. But there's times where you come home and you show respect, in the dojo and on the mat, and then when you come home, then we're equal in the house, But. But
right.
Over there, he's my, my higher rank and instructor and everything else. So that part's different. But in the house, it's all equality. Everything's 50-50, and we decide things together and everything else. So, but it is nice having your husband, because of course he wants it just as much as I do, and it's a little different than just a team member,
Gary, there's another side of the story there of an instructor coaching his wife, Listen, I was very tough on Christine, probably tougher than anybody that was on our team. You know what I mean? And in many ways, over the years, she was a real pain in the butt to me, so to speak, when I was coaching her, because I'd be yelling and screaming, and as everybody knows, that I really pushed her to be, you know, the best it is. But I got to tell you that there hasn't been anybody, and I could honestly say this, there is nobody that's walking the face of the earth that had the opportunity like I did, having a wife like I have, as far as me being in the martial arts. Christine has done everything. And even though I pushed her very hard, and we've had tough times sometimes, you know, getting things done because we want to get it done perfect. But Christine has been the best woman martial artist that I've ever seen overall, fighting forms, weapons. And she's a great instructor. Now she's become a great coach. She coaches her own team, the CBR team. And you know what? If she thinks she's going to go out and beat the Paul Mitchell team, well, that's a whole other story. But here's where the competition starts again, if you know what I mean, you know.
Okay, Donna, Christina, don't go nowhere. We'll bring you back in just a few minutes. We've got to do a couple segments, and we'll be back, the amazing Don Rodriguez and Christine, not Christina, Christine Bannon Rodriguez, Waco World Champion. And I'm so excited to be able to talk to my friends like this. Now, you know, we got some really special people that we put together, and they're called the Six. These are six people across America who give their opinions on certain topics that we talk about every week. Now, tonight, one of my six members, he went to surgery. He won't be here tonight. I'm talking about Jerry Smith, the president of the Black Karate Federation, and, you know, golly, he was under Joe Lewis. He was an amazing trainer. But we wish him all the best, and we'll see him next week. Now, moving right along, I could have picked any woman across America to be on the Six, but I chose this woman. And she is a PKL champion. She trained in Shaolin Karate Do. And she is also a Kung Fu, let's say, student. I won't say expert because she's very good at what she does. And I guess she is an expert. But anyway, I'm talking about my friend Karen Slacker. Karen, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Thank you.
Well, you know, the introduction is getting better and better each week. What can I say?
I'm loving it. Now I'm an expert.
Okay. Well, the sixth question tonight is very simple, okay? I want you to ask me, what does the Six feel has helped water down the worldwide reputation of the martial arts community? I know that's a hard question, but give me your opinion, honey.
Okay. I'm going to say that back – I started in the backyard dojos and the garage dojos and places like that in the early 60s. And I think that it became the storefront, strip mall type of dojos that we all had. But when the commercialization came in, when certain groups came in and they turned the dojos into spas and limited the class time to 45 minutes three times a week, and if you signed up for a certain amount of classes, you'd have a black belt in 18 months, and it just got out of hand really quickly. And I remember a man who had a group that was teaching a certain way of running a school, and he used to say, well, we changed it from being a martial arts school to teaching martial art lessons. And he said that takes the it becomes more easier for us to do less and make more money and bring in contracts and things like that. So I saw the quality of competitors go way down, and the parents got nasty really quick, and suddenly everybody's getting a medal or a trophy at a tournament because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Right.
Please. At that point, you know, I kind of stood back and I said, I'm in the wrong place.
Well, thank you, Karen. It means a lot. Now,
okay,
like
thank
I said,
you.
No, thank you. Now, one of the gentlemen who's on the sixth, he had surgery, you know, this week, and we miss him, and we want to say, Jerry Smith, get better real soon. But one of his proteges, who's a professor at 10th Degree Black Belt, he is also the web designer of the new Sport Car Museum webpage, and you can go there and check it out. It's www.sportkarate.museumarchives.com. And I'm talking about Professor Tom Spellman. Tom, are you there, buddy?
I sure am, Gary.
Okay. What does the Six feel about Juarez help water down the worldwide reputation of the martial arts community, Tom?
Okay, well, back in the 50s and early 60s, I can remember a time that the word karate seemed to many people to belong on a Chinese menu next to egg rolls and wontons. Karate just wasn't well known and definitely not understood. I even remember one of my schoolmates telling me in a whisper that Shotokan meant the art of death. And as time went on, more Vietnam vets returned home and began sharing the arts they received overseas in the boys' clubs and the YMCAs back at home. And later, the dojo sprang up in the big cities and then in the smalls. As karate became mainstream, it seemed, when asked, everyone that had studied it, even if it was only for a week or maybe a month, everybody had done it. And even after that short time, they now, of course, knew karate. In those early years, karate seemed to be mystical and so different in an activity compared to all the other ones that were offered. Its foreign rituals of respect, courtesy, mixed with a need to persevere in its practice, made it challenging in a unique way. In fact, the word activities has much to do with the issues that occurred. As time went on, karate became an activity that became ever interchangeable with the seasonal practices of soccer, football, baseball, basketball, or the kids' programs. And I'm of an opinion, and I'm admittedly biased, that the art of karate provides more than just a physical activity. In fact, I have found in my 60 years of practice that I use what I have learned in nearly every circumstance that I encounter on a daily basis, which to me is really pretty remarkable. Karate's exposure through the media and the salesmanship over the years, like Karen was talking about, in some ways made it so accessible to the public that they can choose a school like they choose a car. You know, the make, the model, the color, extras, all the way they like it. The customer's always right. Well, new and improved doesn't always mean better. Courtesy, honor, patience, integrity, perseverance, and mercy must always accompany physical practice. Those who hope to teach must truthfully represent their rank and the knowledge that they purport to administer. These men and women must polish their character while acquiring the communication and educating skills to impart their knowledge and inspire their charges to exceed their teachers in the quest. The availability of kata and other practices at a touch of one's fingertips on YouTube cannot be substituted for the live transmission of the lessons one seeks under the watchful eyes of a qualified instructor. There is much to be said for the commitment and respectful agreement between sensei and student. The universal contract of the teacher, the student, and the teachings are still the tender that transmits the art to the future generations. As it was, so should it be.
Spoken like a true professor, Tom. God bless you, buddy. I love that. I love that. And that was the amazing Tom Spellman, the web designer of the Sport Car Museum webpage. Thank you, Tom. Thank you. That was very good. Now, moving right along, one of my favorite people in the whole world. He is the president of the AOK, and I've known him, golly bones, since he was an orange belt. But you know what? I love bragging about this. He has won five, or I think more than five, MVP awards in the Texas Sport Karate Circuit, known as the Golden Greek Award. It took me 17 years to win just one, but this guy's won five or more. I'm talking about the amazing David Chambers. D.E., are you there, bud?
I am right here with you.
What an amazing show. But I wanted to ask the Six, and you're a big part of the Six, Phil has helped water down the worldwide reputation of martial arts community. What's your feeling on it, D?
There are several factors. I'm going to touch on three of them. Mostly is mentality, meaning that when you first started in the martial art, why did you get into the art? Why did your instructor get into the art? Is it the same reasoning? I'm giving an example. The number one thing I think, and not in this particular order, but just one of the number one things, is a participation award. I used to get beat up because I was a businessman. I said, you know, you should get everybody a participation award because I want them to come back to the tournament. And I had a young lady who was a mean lady, not a martial artist. She was a professor, someone I was actually talking to at the time. And she said, why would you get out the participation award? If they lost, they lost. She said, if they didn't win, they didn't win. Learn how not to win and go home and get better. And I was going from a business standpoint, and it was saying, well, you know, I want them to come back, so I want them to feel good. And I think that's part of it, meaning when you want someone to feel good, that's a major part of your reasoning, then sometimes the training is different. Sometimes the goals are different. And
right.
So the participation award or the mentality of a participation award is a factor. And number two is almost a repeat, and when it became a sport in comparison to being a way of life. You know, we look at martial arts, you say, hey, I do martial art. The conversation has to be, what did you do at a tournament? How do you do at a tournament? That's the second question that comes after of it. Instead of saying, what did it do for your grades? What did it do for your with your spouse or your family? What did it change? How did it affect you? When the focus goes from way of life to
right. It's
the sport, you know, that's a second factor. That's a major second factor. And one third factor, back again in sports, if you're saying we watered down the sport part of karate, is when you went down from two divisions to 50 divisions for the same group of people.
But the producers got that money,
D. Well, yeah, I had to make money, so I had to do it. I had to do it. But at one time, whoever you stood on the side of is who you fought.
Right.
But last time I fought at a tournament, I fought in three divisions for fighting. Fought in the 35 and plus, the 45 plus, and 18 plus, because I was trying to get more than two fights that day. You know, but it's
I did that in NBL. I fought super heavyweight, and light heavyweight 1 year, and it was the most traumatic thing I ever did. In fact, I had to breathe in oxygen from the oxygen mask. But thank you, D. You're the best. That's one of the reasons why you're the president of the amateur organization karate, the largest sport karate tournament circuit in Texas. Now, moving right along, I got this gentleman. He's an amazing guy. He's a NASCAR world champion. He's a Marine. He's also my co-host, Dean Piles. Where you at, Dean? You there?
I'm right here, sir.
Okay. What does the sixth feel has helped water down the worldwide reputation of the martial arts community, Dean Piles?
Well, in my opinion, you know, there are several things, and this is the way I look at it. Most people used to be like, you know, when Grandmaster Lewis was around, his main thing for us, as well as Uncle Bill, was fighting. You know, how well our fighting was, how hard you could hit, you know, strategy in the competitions. And then what has happened over the years is there's people that have decided they like martial arts, and instead of going through the whole training process, they take a few classes, pick up a little lingo, and then wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, they're a black belt, and they're off to the races running a school teaching watered-down martial arts. Now, sometimes these people put their competitors into competitions. Sometimes they don't. But here's where the watering down comes. These people are out saying they're black belts and they've done this or done that. Then they finally end up in an altercation that proves the latter. It proves that they're not. And that's why you have so many. I'm sure everybody on the stick has had somebody in their time say, well, you know, my uncle beat up a guy that was a fifth-degree black belt. My cousin beat up a black belt. My brother can beat up a black belt. My, you know, they know somebody that's beat up a black belt. And the reason why they know somebody that's beat up a black belt is because the person that they beat up that's proclaiming to be a black belt is not a black belt. Another thing, you know, a lot of people perceive it, look at the sport aspect of it. Now, I teach tactical combatives to our military, and when I'm not just talking about like this regular military. I mean, I'm talking about the special forces. And when you teach that type teaching is not beautiful. It is very brutal. It's very to the point and tactical. So a lot of schools don't do that. So they only see the beautiful side of martial arts. You know, the balance, the fluidity, the mastery of technique. They don't look at what you can do with that martial art if you just flip it, because people think it's just one way. Does that make sense? They see the soft side and they think that's the only way it is. So, you know, they've got that watered down. It's like people right now think that, you know, MMA, it may be better than regular martial arts, but that's not true. Or they think Krav Maga is better for self-defense than what comes out of Shotokan or Kaizen Kenpo or, you know, any of that stuff. But it's not. It's, you know, it's just the way you perceive it. We had a guy come in. He hung his plaque on the wall, and then he took it down because I let him rent some space to teach Krav Maga. It said 40 hours. Instructor, 40 hours. Certification, 40 hours. Well, people started questioning that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like what I'm saying is what waters it down is the perception that people see it, and people letting people get by with proclaiming their black belt and then not being black belt and then teaching garbage martial arts, which a lot of them won't come to a circuit. They're not going to take their students to a mom-and-pop's karate school, as you will, or somebody that's faking their rank is not going to go to Ocean State Grand Nationals and put their competitors in. Because if they do, they will lose all their students because their gimmick will be exposed. So there's a lot of these places that go, hey, I'm not going to teach or to competition because their style's too deadly. Then they get into a self-defense fight, or their students do, and they lose brutally. That's my opinion.
You know what it is, buddy? It's the elevation of the perception of someone believes that they're doing something from the person they learned. What if they've done is let their ego involved and, you know,
like 13-degree black belt. Yeah.
Right. We'll go on that to another show. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Dean Piles, NASCAR world champion, and the last person of the six, and not the least important. I'm talking about my buddy, A.J. Perry. A.J., you there, bud?
I'm here. How are you?
Okay. How does the six feel has helped water down the worldwide reputation of the martial arts community, AJ?
Well, I think there's a couple things. One of them is the bastardization of rank. You know, you see so many 35, 40-year-old people that claim to be a 9th or 10th degree black belt, and, you know, people believe that crap. You know, it takes 50 years to become a true 9th degree black belt in Tangsudo. You know, it's not where it's just handed out. You have to earn it. And the other one is no do. And what I mean by that, they forgot the do part of the training, the traditional martial art aspect.
Yeah.
The daily training, the mental training, and, you know, the martial art way. And that's been forgotten in a lot of schools.
But, you know, AJ, okay, I'll just put my little two cents, name, disable, destroy. Kata, Keon, or Keon's first. Keon, Kata, Bunkai, Kumite. Those are eight words that are very important. But, AJ, I love you, buddy. I love your opinion. It means so much that you're coming in October to stand on glass.
I'm looking forward to it.
And do a spinning wheel kick and break boards. I love that idea. I love what you do. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's the incredible six martial artists around the country who puts their opinions out on the questions I get from the public. And I want to say again, I hope Jerry Smith gets well, and I miss him, and we'll hope to see him next week. Now, another segment that I do is very important. A few years ago, I saw what virtual reality will do for the world. And then I realized that it's not just business. It's not just police. It's not just military. It's not just gaming. It's a workout. And this man who is the inventor of what we call SetVR.app, he has been on the air with me for almost a year introducing VR.app, which is virtual reality. What that stands for is self-defense enhanced training in virtual reality application. But I'm going to bring on the inventor, Dr. Reginald Lee. Reggie, you there, bud? Reggie, did I lose you? Well, okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to find out about what SetVR is about, please go to Google on your computer, and you can see the flat screen of what SetVR.app is, and that's spelled SVR.app. Now, it's not just a hologram that's immersive that you have to defend against. Eventually, there's going to be the History General portals. All the History Generals of the Sport Car Museum, their incredible history will be listed there. But before you reach the History Generals, you have to beat the hologram. Again, go to Google and type in FETVR.APP, and you can see the demonstration of what these incredible people that invented this have done. Now, my last segment that I really, really enjoy, I'll just be blunt. It's called The Wolverine, 3 Minutes with the Wolverine. This is where the amazing man, as you talked to him earlier, Dean Piles, he has an alias, and he's called The Wolverine. And what we do, we talk about topics with him, and we take the lease off. In other words, we let him say what he means what he says, and he can back it up. Wolverine, where you at?
I'm right here, sir.
Okay, Wolverine. Okay, here we go. How does a Wolverine feel about the progressive ego shown in the martial arts community throughout, the years around the world? Hard question for the Wolverine, huh?
No, it's not a hard question for me. It's just going to, it just makes a lot of people mad, but, it is what it is. When you start selling ego, then people's egos get bigger. And the more ego sales that go on, the bigger the egos get. And the more unchecked things go, then the bigger the egos get, because the tales of grandeur just get bigger, in my opinion. It is what it is. Think about how many people are martial arts world champions, but don't ever compete on the big scene, the big competition, and when it's easy to just claim that and go unchecked and be like, yeah, I'm a martial arts world champion, and I'm this, that, and the other, and then people's like, hey, well, let me give you an award for that, and then they're like, yeah, give me an award. How much is that award? Well, it's X amount of dollars. Well, let me hand it over to you. And I see so many people that are so deserving. Like, we talk about, this show, we talk about all these people. But, even like the NASCA competitive circuit, let's just use that. I competed NBL, NASCA. There's great competitors on both sides that are world champions and so deserving of recognition, like we had on Jeremy Elliott, people like that have done so much, Mr. Rodriguez just talked about Raymond Daniels, and there's just so many more people, Jack Felton, there's just, the list goes on and on and on of all these people. And a lot of these people, there's a lot of people out there that are really top-notch people that don't get any recognition, and somebody else may get recognition that's not done anything in the martial arts, but they may hold a competition, or they're friends with the right people, and they get, you know, more stuff. And I think, you know, that's the only sad part, and that's what, you know, in some cases, again, waters things down because other people know of that, and then it makes it look less important. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, I want to ask you a serious question, Wolverine. Are you taking chill pills? Because you've gotten awful nice these past few broadcasts.
No, I'm just trying not to yell because I know, you know, I know how people get all you know, upset, and then, you know, y'all call me and ask me to be sweeter. But no, I mean, it, to me, it's something
how
that,
can a
that it
be
is
sweeter.
Well, I tell you what, the work that I've been doing right now has, I'll just be honest with you, I'm exhausted of what I'm having to do, I've been having to train and do right now. And then, you know, just as an insight, then we get, you know, word today that, you know, I mean, this is not to be ugly politically, but we're cutting the military by a million troops. And that's a lot of hard work that we've been doing just to be thinking of what we got to do and who's got to be gone. And it's just a lot of exhausting. Here lately has just been very exhausting with the training and different things. So that's
Gary,
why I may have been a little bit more low-key lately.
Hey, Gary,
yes.
I never thought I'd hear Dean so lovey-dovey.
You what?
Yeah.
I said I never thought I'd hear Dean so lovey-dovey.
I'm trying to be a kinder, gentler Wolverine before World War III starts. I'm
there
trying to save
okay,
up.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen,
I'm trying
that
to save
three
up.
Minutes with the Wolverine and the sex, and I guess Reggie got bumped off, but he'll be on next week with Jerry Smith be back also. But I want to bring back my special guest. Christine, Don, are you there?
Yes, we are.
Okay, I want to hit you with what Bob White invented 9 years ago. It's called the Legends Name Game. I'm going to hit you with a name, and you guys can talk about it for 2 minutes and try to hit you with a couple names. Okay, you guys ready?
Yep.
Rocky DiRico, got 2 minutes.
Well, you know, Rocky, you know, is an extraordinary athlete as far as in martial arts goes. You know, I've known Rocky for over 40 years, and Rocky DiRico is one of the hardest working competitors I know. You got to remember now, he's competed for, I think, 100 years now. You know?
Well, he's coming out of retirement, Don, to be in Kata Wars in October.
I got to tell you that, you know what, Rocky's was one of our team members, and he's one of my great friends. I still coach him now when he does compete every now and then. And he's truly an amazing, amazing competitor and is probably the most decorated senior competitor of all time. The guy has won in every 60 and over, 50 and over, 40 and over, 30 and over. You know what? And he's won in all those divisions. He's the best senior competitor of all time in my book. Of course, he was on our team, so I can feel that way. But you know what? To know Rocky personally as an individual, he's just an awesome, awesome human being.
Well, I'm so excited that he gets to come and, you know, participate. And people get to see the great Rocky DiRico at Kata Wars. Now, I want to hit you with a lady that changed my attitude toward Kempo and was my personal friend. And before we lost her, we got to honor her deeply. I'm talking about Miss Nancy Cerio. Nick Cerio's wife. Can you talk about her for a couple minutes?
Yeah, you know what? Nancy was such a special individual. Me and Nancy became very close. Of course, she was, you know, one of Professor Cerio's black belts too, you know. And actually, me and Nancy Lee are the only two individuals to receive a fifth degree black belt or higher from Ed Parker, Nick Cerio, and George Pizzari. There's only been two people that's ever done that, myself and Nancy Lee. So that goes to show you where Nancy Lee is in the Kempo world. Really,
Don,
really a special individual.
Story, Don, let me tell you a funny story. There's a man named Young Sung Lee in Virginia. He brought me into his event 1 year. And
Baltimore.
A limousine picked me up, and Nancy's cereal is in the back seat. And I get in, and we go to the place we're going to, and I grab somebody, and I put them down on the floor, and I start cutting cucumbers all over their body, right? Nancy looked at me, and she says, "Are you crazy?" Not talking to me, talking about the person laying down on the ground. And then I said, "Well, Nancy, you do it." And she laid on two chairs, and she allowed me to bite a banana on her tummy. Everybody thought I was going to cut it, but I bit it. But, you know, I want to say one thing before we get off the air. Thank you. Thank you for what you guys have done as a team, individually, and what you're doing for sport karate. And I talked to my wife a few minutes ago, and she gave me the approval. You're grand champion in juniors, and you're grand champion overall in the adult men. We're going to take care of them as an entry in the Cod Awards if they would like to come down. We're going to do that as a gift to the Ocean State. So we appreciate you guys so much. Now, again, if anybody wanted to find out about Ocean State, who or how they would get in touch to find out about it?
Well, they could go on myjuventex.com and look up Ocean State Grand Nationals, all the events listed chronologically on, you know, what's coming up next. Or they could go to oceanstategrandnational.net, and that's without an S, no S on the end of national, oceanstategrandnational.net, and that has all the information as well. Or they could email me at drka111@aol.com.
Very good. Well, I'm excited about hoping to see you guys in October when we get to honor Mr. John Paul Junorio at the Roy Curbin's Tribute and Roast. And we've got an exciting event planned for you guys, too. And you know what? God bless you guys. I hope you have a great, great tournament. And to add what I said with the grand champion, the junior grand champion, add that to that little bit of $20,000 you're going to give away. That's incredible. So,
well, thank you, guys, thank you very much, you guys, Gary, and thank you so much for everybody else that's on. Thank you.
Well, no, God bless you, John. God bless
great interview.
Well, listen, guys, I really have a great time doing this show every week, and you allowing us to go into your home. And we get to interview some incredible people like world champion Christine Banny Rodriguez and her lovely husband, Don Rodriguez, the coaches of the John Paul Mitchell National Karate Team. As you heard, we will honor Mr. John Paul Junorio with an honorary 10th degree black belt October the 8th at Roy Curbin's Tribute and Roast in Houston, Texas. Now, for more information on that, you can just simply call 713-483-0476. And the six people will be there. We're going to have some incredible guests come in from all around across America. And as we say every week, and we mean it from the heart, mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.